The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
If you want to check out the really simple five-step process that I use to buy rental properties, I wrote an ebook that shows you everything. You can download it right now. Just go to landlordgift.com. Tiffany Alexi from Raleigh is joining us on the podcast today. Tiffany bought her first rental property when she was in college. She did a house hack, she rented out rooms to other college students, and kind of figured out how everything worked and realized that this was very profitable. So when she graduated, she did it again. She bought a few more properties, and she continues to rent them by the room to college students. So I want to find out exactly what she's doing and how she's making things work. So let's take a real quick break. We'll come back in 1 minute and we'll meet Tiffany.
Would you like to know the easiest way to create wealth and passive income with real estate? This is Marco Santarelli with Norada Real Estate Investments. Now you can access the best deals without the stress or hassle of having to find, renovate, or manage those properties. We save you time by providing you with passive income investment properties in some of the best U.S. markets. Learn more by downloading your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing. There's no obligation and nothing to buy. Simply visit PassiveRealEstateGuide.com and get your free copy today. That's PassiveRealEstateGuide.com.
The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because you don't want to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's got a special offer just for our listeners. She's offering to waive all the pre-qualification fees if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E lendinggroup.com. Hey, Tiffany, welcome to the podcast. So why don't we start with you giving us just a real quick bio on yourself, just so that the audience can get to know you a little bit.
Hey, Dan, thanks for having me. Sure. So I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's called the Triangle. I've been here my entire life and I work here. I have a real estate brokerage and we also do property management. So I've been investing in the area since 2011, since I was in college.
Awesome. And tell me about your portfolio today. What kind of rentals do you have?
Sure. So I mostly have the college student rentals. I started as having a house hack. So I lived in one bedroom and I rented out. It was a four bedroom condo and I lived in one and rented out the other three. So it covered my mortgage and expenses and I ended up living, you know, in my own property for free, which is pretty neat.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's always the best way to do it. So you were actually in college when you bought that first property?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, how did that work? Like, you know, banks are so strict with the financing. Was it hard getting a loan when you're a student and you don't really have much income?
No, it wasn't that hard getting it. So I had a few things working for me. I was going to be an owner-occupant, so that helped.
Yep.
Because a lot of these condos are owned by investors. So the conventional bank financing doesn't work in this situation mm-hmm. because Fannie and Freddie have very strict guidelines.
Right.
So being an owner occupant, it helped me purchase and I was able to bypass those rules.
Okay.
And I also had a second thing working for me, which is my mom co-signed on the loan for
me. Okay.
And yeah, and that's really what helped because we were able to use her income to qualify for the loan.
Okay. But you know, that's great. So it's almost like having a job in college without having to work. So you've got this condo that you're living in, you're renting out rooms, and then I guess were you actually living there free or making a little bit of money on it?
Yeah. So I was renting each bedroom for $350 and my mortgage payment was about $497. So yeah, I mean, I was making a couple hundred bucks
That's
a month
great.
And living there for free. So it definitely was kind of like another side gig.
Yeah. So, all right. So now your rentals today are mainly college rentals. And do you feel like that's just because you kind of figured out that this works, that you can rent out rooms and you can, I'm assuming you make more money renting it out by the rooms than you would if you rented out to a family, right?
Yes, that's totally right. So my first one, you know, I held that rental for a couple of years and I was trying to decide if I wanted to go, you know, full-fledged into real estate investing or if I just wanted to hold on to that one. And so I decided, you know, I found out something that worked. So I just repeated the process and ended up getting a couple college rentals, and I do rent them by the room. They are each on their own lease and utilities are included in their price. So it's really just a one all-in price. And I found that that really helps not just making more money, but also reducing vacancy.
Right.
Because, you know, there's sometimes they have a little bit of fear moving into an apartment with three other existing tenants that they don't know.
Yeah.
So by being on their own lease, it makes them feel a little bit better. They're not responsible for the other tenants if they don't end up paying.
Right. Now, do you think that including the utilities, you know, I think some people might be afraid of that they're going to run the AC all the time or they're going to crank up the heat. Like, do you feel like people take advantage of it, or do you think it maybe allows you to rent the property for more money, that it's actually a profit center for you?
Yeah. So I did it based on, you know, average utility cost. And so I looked at my past 12 months of utility cost, and that's how, kind of how I factored in the rent increases. So I mean, I started renting it at $350 per room, and now it's at $450 per room. And on average, what I'm making is slightly over the utility cost.
Okay.
Of course, it depends on the month and the season, but yeah. I kind of factor that into my rental increases.
Okay. And do you set that up on just the auto pay so you don't have to even think about it, or yeah, are you actually?
Exactly. Okay. They're all on auto pay.
That's the way to do it. That's awesome.
Yep.
Now, the other property, so all right, so you're in that first property when you're in school and you're house hacking. What was your next property after that?
Yeah, so after that first property, you know, I got my master's degree and I ended up getting a job in Charlotte, North Carolina. So what I did was I rented out my room, the fourth bedroom. So I had that first unit completely rented out. And I was living and working in Charlotte for a couple months, and I just didn't really like it. So I ended up coming back to Raleigh. And at that point, you know, I had my unit fully rented, so I didn't want to kick out a paying tenant. And I was living with my mom. And it, I mean, you know how living with parents
is.
Yeah,
right.
After you move out the first time.
It's always hard. Yep.
Yeah. So I ended up buying another condo. It was just down the street from my first one. And it was a 3-bed, 2-bath. So I basically just repeated the process. I lived in the master bedroom and I found two other roommates to live with me, and they paid each about $450. And so total, I was making $900 a month. That was covering my mortgage and utilities. So again, I was living for free.
Okay, that's great. So you got $900 a month. Now, if you were to have rented that out, just to a family or a regular tenant or something, how much do you think that unit would have rented out for?
So those are renting for about $1,100 for a 3-bedroom,
okay,
which is what I had.
Okay.
So if I were to just rent it out to a family, or yeah, to a family, it would be about $1,100.
Okay. So you're getting $900 and then you're also living free. So,
right,
I mean,
exactly.
That's, I think that's a better deal. Now, when you moved, like, so Raleigh and Charlotte, that's like a couple hours away.
Exactly.
Was
about 3 hours.
Is that difficult, or has it been difficult managing that property and also having multiple tenants? So I'm sure you probably have more turnover when people are renting by the room. Like, I guess, have you had more turnover renting by the room? Maybe I should.
In general, yes. They typically turn over every year. I've got a couple tenants who will have stayed, you know, a couple years each. And I have one tenant who stayed, he's been there about 5 years. So, but overall, they leave about every year.
Okay. Do you have like a person that's like your, like almost like a house manager that's like your point person if something's going on?
Not really.
Okay.
I find that they're all pretty communicative. I manage. Okay. Now that I do property management, I use Buildium, so they can all, you know, email, text me through that platform.
Right. Now, has it been challenging at all, like being 3 hours away from the property? Is that a big deal or not really?
Oh, so I'm back in Raleigh.
Okay.
So I only live about 10 minutes away from the property.
Okay. So do you live near all the properties or do you have any properties that are not in Raleigh?
Yeah. So I do have a rental in Aiden, North Carolina.
Okay.
That's in Greenville. So it's about 2 hours to Aiden.
Okay.
And it's currently being rehabbed. So we don't have any tenants in it right now. We just have contractors working on it. But it will be a rental when we're finished.
Okay. Is that a property you just purchased?
Yes, I purchased it this summer.
Okay. Now, how did that come about? Like, why did you branch out to a different area?
Yeah, it just happened by accident, I guess. I was looking on Craigslist, actually, and I found these 4 townhomes for sale in Greenville, North Carolina. And I ran the numbers. And I looked at, you know, what I was renting for versus the purchase price. So they were asking $130,000 for 4 townhomes together.
Wow.
And they each were renting for $550.
Okay.
So that was, you know, $2,200 in rent and purchased for $130.
Right.
And so it kind of seemed like slam dunk.
Yeah,
so
right.
So I ended up, we drove to Greenville. It's only about an hour and a half away.
Okay.
And I didn't end up... So that transaction didn't go through because the seller had a judgment against him for $30,000 that he couldn't clear.
Okay.
So, but the wholesaler that had brought that deal to me, who had posted it on Craigslist, he had a bunch of other deals. And so when he got this Aiden, it's a duplex, he sent it to me and I put it under contract that day.
You know, going to a new area... you know, you might not know the neighborhood as well. Like, did you do any research to kind of learn the area, or are you kind of familiar with it because you're not really that far away?
Yeah. So we had, you know, driven to Greenville a couple times and just driven around, gotten to know the neighborhood. We networked, you know, with a couple investors.
Right.
So I felt pretty comfortable with that market. And it's actually kind of similar to Raleigh with the ECU college market. So it wasn't that different. And this property is in downtown Aiden. So it's a block down the road from the downtown strip.
Okay. Okay. Now, overall, how has it been with college rentals? Because I think a lot of people might be scared of college rentals that, you know, college kids a lot of times don't have the best reputation, or, you know, people think of themselves when they were in college. I don't know if was always the best tenant. So how has that been dealing with college students?
It's actually been pretty good. The key is tenant selection. So, you know, doing background screening, credit check, eviction check. A lot of the issues with college tenants is that they don't have the income to mm-hmm. back up their rent. So we require 3 times the rent in monthly gross income. And a lot of the time, you know, college kids aren't working or they're working part time and they don't have that. So in that situation, we have their parents co-sign on the loan.
Okay.
And we still collect a security deposit for them. So that way they use their parents' income to qualify.
Now, is that a ton of work, like in the spring when people are trying to lock in their apartments for the next year? Like, do you feel like you're constantly showing the properties?
Yes. So I own a property management company, so it is a lot of work, but that's kind of my job.
Okay.
If I were just self-managing my own units, it wouldn't be that bad with just a couple units. And what I do to save time is I set up group showings or, you know, like rental open houses.
Oh, that's
so
smart.
I'll say, hey, I'm going to be at the property from 4 to 6 on Friday afternoon. Please stop by. And that way I'm not going to the property for, you know, just one person.
Right.
So a lot of the time people will flake out.
Now, how about just doing, you know, like little things like, so say with my rentals, like the tenants, you know, I can tell them to change the furnace filter and they'll do it. But with college kids, like, you know, this is a lot of times the first time they're really living on their own and they might not know a lot of things like that. Has that been hard to kind of show them what they need to do, or even, you know, how to work the thermostat or something? Like, do you have to kind of baby them a little bit more?
Yes, a little bit.
Yeah.
So And I have a townhome, which is rented by four girls right now. And yeah, we just renovated it this summer. So it's got a brand new kitchen. I mean, new tile flooring, new appliances, new cabinets, everything. And we made the mistake of not, you know, running them through how to use everything. Mm-hmm. And they ended up putting dish soap in the dishwasher. And got a call and they were like, there's soap coming out of the dishwasher. And so it had gotten all over the floor.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, we taught them from there, you know, this is how you operate a dishwasher. You don't put dish soap, you put dishwashing detergent. So yeah, there are some lessons that, you know, you have to teach the kids.
Yeah. So now I think the really interesting thing with your story is that you started to invest because it's something you wanted to do, but then the investing kind of led to you getting your real estate license and starting a real estate brokerage and a property management company. How did that all kind of lead in? Because like when you started investing, your goal wasn't to be a realtor, right?
Right. That's correct. I started investing in 2011 and I didn't get my license until 2013. In that time period, I was kind of deciding, you know, what I should be doing for my career. I still didn't know what I wanted to do, but I figured, you know, get your real estate license. You can save yourself the commission on any future deals you purchase. And it's good education. So that way, you know, people can't take advantage of you.
Right.
So that's really why I went and got my real estate license. I honestly had no intention of being a real estate agent ever.
That's something that comes up a lot that listeners ask me about is if they should get their license. And like, I don't know if it's a good idea unless you're going to sell real estate, because like, I think the thing people don't always understand is that it costs like a few $1,000s a year to keep your license up. So if you're going to buy one house as a new agent, like you're probably not going to even really know what you're doing. So I don't know if you're going to represent yourself as well. So like, what do you think? Like if an investor is thinking of getting their license, do you think it's worth it to save on the commission or to earn the commission? Or do you think you're better off just getting an agent?
Yeah. So it really depends on how much business the investor thinks they're going to do. If they're just buying like maybe one deal a year or one deal every other year, probably not worth it.
Yeah. But
if they're buying a couple a year and they're ramping up, then there are some benefits to having your license.
Yeah. What are some of them? Like, so the access to the MLS, like being able to see properties.
And actually, you don't necessarily have to access or pay the MLS. If you're not selling, you know, if you're just looking for deals, then you don't necessarily need to spend the money.
Right.
So you can just work directly with a listing agent and, you know, you would be representing yourself, of course, but you don't need MLS access for that.
Okay. Okay. But that is really cool to have. I mean, I have MLS access. I love it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's great. It's definitely, you know, if you're in the business and you're a serious investor, then it's definitely worth it, especially if you're ending up, you know, if you're rehabbing properties and listing your own properties, you can save yourself the commission that way as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, and then, so the property management, so you got your license, you started selling real estate, and then you started a property management company. Like, how did that happen?
Yeah, so that kind of happened organically. I started the property management side January 1st of this year is when I officially started taking on clients. And it really happened because I worked with so many investors on the buy, sell, you know, transaction side that I would have investors constantly asking me, can you manage my property? Can you manage my property? And I would either say no, or I would refer them to another property management company. And it kind of came to a point where I was like, wait a minute, why am I referring them to another property management company and letting another company take their money?
Right.
I can easily do that. So that's when I kind of decided, you know, I'm going to have a concierge, more of a full service brokerage where I can help investors buy, I can manage the property for them. And then when it comes time for them to sell, I can help them sell it as well.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, that's really, I think, so awesome with your story. If you think about it, that you started with a house hack because you were looking for a cheap place to live. And that right. turned into this great portfolio you've built over the last couple of years. And then it led into your career as an agent and a property manager. And I think that's great. Like, it wasn't planned. It just kind of happened. And I,
yeah, definitely. Thank you. Yeah. And it's, yeah, I definitely was not planning for it to happen this way. If anything, I was not wanting to be an agent because I grew up in real estate. My mom is a realtor as well. So I wanted to stay very far away from that side. And I kind of ended up right where I began.
Yeah. Do your parents invest too?
Yes, they
do. Okay. So do you think that helped you? Like, because I mean, I know when I was in college, I wasn't thinking of house hacking. I wish I had. I think that would have been a great idea. But did your parents kind of plant that idea in your head that, hey, this yes. might be a good thing to do? Yeah,
absolutely. I was not thinking of it that way either. So the plan was that my mom was actually going to purchase a property at UNC, which is where I went for undergrad. And I have a younger brother. He's 4 years younger than me. So I was going to rent from her. And then when I moved out, my brother was going to rent from her. But he ended up not getting into UNC. So that plan didn't really work out.
Okay.
But that's why I started thinking about the house hack. When I got into NC State for grad school, I was like, you know what? Instead of paying rent for a couple of years, I know I'm going to be in Raleigh. So I might as well just buy something.
Yeah. Yeah. That really worked out great. Well, if someone wants to reach out to you, if they're looking to buy a place in Raleigh or they're looking for a new property manager, what's the best way for someone to reach out to you?
Sure. So email is the best way. I'm pretty live and breathe email. So it would be just Tiffany@AlexiRealtyGroup.com.
And if you want to look that up later on, I'll put her contact information on my website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode190. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing to the podcast. We'll be back with a new episode next Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
All because of a fancy bike?
It's not just a bike. Peloton makes treadmills too.
Nah, all treadmills are the same.
Our treadmills can adjust speed and incline automatically, so you never break your stride. Whether you're squeezing in a power walk or training for a marathon, Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try the Peloton Tread risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.